It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block. Call it the musical answer to a midlife crisis, or simply a calling to experience music in a whole new, exciting way. The renowned violinist Joshua Bell, at age 45, is now a conductor.
Certainly there are many times I've wanted to grab the stick out of conductor's hands and say, come on, you have to show this here. They need a rhythmic impulse here. They need, don't tell them to play softer and then give this huge gesture, you know, saying exactly the opposite of what you're saying verbally. You know, there are times like that where I think, I want to give this a try.
And so he is. We're listening to Joshua Bell's first recording as music director with the British Chamber Orchestra, the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, Beethoven's 4th and 7th symphonies. And picture this, Joshua Bell leads the orchestra from the concertmaster's chair, the leader of the first violins. In other words, he plays with the orchestra and conducts it at the same time.
I do basically what a conductor does with a baton, except I also play along with the orchestra, so I have to juggle the roles of playing the concertmaster. Sometimes I drop the violin and wave my arms.
You don't literally drop the violin. You put it down.
No. I feel very connected to the orchestra in a way that a conductor sometimes does not feel. I'm within the group. I'm making a sound along with them, and so when I draw my bow, it's something very natural watching the way one attacks the instrument with a bow. They can feel it in a way that's not always so easy when one is waving a stick at an imaginary downbeat.
When you're conducting from the concertmaster's chair, do you find yourself moving more? Are you conscious that you need to gesture more and just use your body more than you?
Well, I've been accused my whole life of moving too much.
So it comes naturally.
So when I play concertos, the conductor often, after the rehearsal, says, "Which one of us just conducted?" You know, because I tend to. So this is actually now I'm using this to my advantage, and yes, I move a lot and I have to gesture a lot. I sit on a chair, it's a little bit higher, and I've almost poked the eye out of my stand partner many a time, but I'm learning the whole language. I think we have a kind of a language now that I really feel if I want something, I can show it. I know how to show it, and they know what it means when I make a gesture.
Let's talk about Beethoven's 4th symphony, one of two on your new CD.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the description from Robert Schumann. He called it a slender Greek maiden between two Norse giants, referring to the 3rd, the Eroica Symphony, and the 5th. How would you describe the 4th, and do you think it's overlooked?
The only problem that 4th has is its location between the 3rd and the 5th as far as it being overlooked.
Pretty powerful neighbors.
And it shouldn't be compared. I mean, that's the whole thing. Sometimes people say, well, it's not as great as the 5th or the 3rd. It is what it is. And what it is something incredibly special, and you wouldn't want to change a single note of it. It starts out with a mysterious opening, which sort of psychs you out. You think it's going to go into that dark Beethoven, and it turns into the most glorious and joyful piece that I can think of.
Yeah, very, very dancey and vivacious in the first movement.
Absolutely. Recapitulation in the first movement, the way it builds. I mean, nobody could do it like Beethoven. The way the instruments start layering on top of each other and building, it just bursts into this incredible joy when it recaps.
I'm not going to try to sing it, but what you're talking about when the theme comes back, can you sing that part?
No, I can't sing. And everybody starts joining it, and finally it bursts into this just... Anyway, it's better to listen to it.
How would you describe the evolution of Beethoven as a composer between the Fourth Symphony, which he wrote in 1806, and then the Seventh, which he wrote 6 years later. What's happened in between?
Oh, gee. Well, the Fifth and the Sixth yeah. are happened. I mean, the Fifth, of course, being the one that we all know. I mean, the Beethoven shaking his fist at the world, and that's the kind of classic Beethoven that we think of. The Sixth being, I think, maybe the most beautiful of all the nine and really profound.
And then you come to the Seventh. What defines the Seventh?
Seventh is, I would say, is heroic. First of all, I hate sort of encapsulate a whole symphony, yeah. you know, in just eight words. It just sounds stupid, and I am regretting
you're taking it back already.
but the Seventh is, I find, the triumph of the human spirit. Really, I mean, which is a common theme through, I think, a lot of Beethoven, but he pulls it off, I think, incredibly well. He was a tortured composer, very rarely happy, but I think he actually felt that he had created something really special. The slow movement, of course, of the Seventh is usually on everyone's top 10 lists of desert island pieces. The slow movement is, in contrast to that, is somehow very dark and full of lament. But it has to be done just right, because if you take it too slowly, for instance, it can become too sentimental. It has to have this rhythmic pulse and be played at a true allegretto, not at a, you know, an andante. It's more than just singing beautiful tune. It's got this element that just goes right to the heart of the emotion.
Joshua Bell, this is your first recording with the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields as music director, these two symphonies, the Fourth and the Seventh of Beethoven. Did you wonder, you know, aren't there enough Beethoven symphonies out there? Is this really where I want to make my first impression?
Well, gosh, I would have to give up my career as a classical musician if I worried about there, because they've been done before, and you have to have enough confidence in what you're doing that you feel you have something to say. Otherwise, you should not be doing it. But I guess I'm conceited enough to think that there's something new here to say without trying to be new. I think that's a mistake. If you think, okay, there's 100 recordings and I need to do something different, so let's just do this extra fast or this extra loud, or, you know, I mean, that's not the way to approach it. But there are just so many ways to approach these pieces. I think there is room, and I'm very proud to have it. I hope people will buy it, but if not, at least I have this for my legacy, for my grandchildren, you know, someday.
Well, Joshua Bell, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Joshua Bell conducts Beethoven's Symphonies 4 and 7 in a new recording from the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.